There is a medrash in this week's parsha that is a side of the halacha by the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Arachayim and Sinereish Lakei, and he cites the halacha of the father to recite the bracha of Baruch Shepatroni Anshe Shalzeh, this special bracha that's made by the father on the day of the bar mitzvah when his son becomes a bar mitzvah. And this halacha is based on a medrash Rav in Parshas Toldos, which the medrash says, Amar Rabbi Lazar said, Sarich Adam L'tapel B'vno Ayud Gimel Shana. A person is responsible to take care of his child until he's 13 years old. Mikan Ve'elach, from that point forward, Sarich Shiomar Baruch Shepatroni Anshe Shalzeh, he says, Baruch blesses Hashem, who has exempted me from the punishment of this. Whatever that bracha means, will leave till the very end. But it's some sort of bracha said over the transference of your son not being chayv mitzvos to becoming chayv mitzvos, some sort of independence. And there is a comment of the Ri Milunel in his comments in the Rif in Shabbos and Daf Hey, which you have over here. He says, "If you shami kasev kishimagia katzim l'shoshes reishana." It's pretty much the same idea. The problem is we don't have this in our Yerushalmi. So nobody cites the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi would be obviously a more authoritative source than a Medrash Rabbah. But nevertheless, we don't have this in our version of the Yerushalmi, so we don't quote the Yerushalmi. Everybody cites the Medrash Rabbah in this week's Parsha. The question in the Rishonim is whether this bracha should be said with Hashem's name. Because you see, as it's quoted in the Medrash, it doesn't say Baruch Ata Hashem Akanim Al-Khalam or Baruch Ata Hashem there's no name of Hashem at all in the bracha. So why not? And should it be there? So we have two opinions. The first is the Maharil. The Maharil, who most of Ashkenazi Minog and Psak comes from, the Ramah quotes very often. So the Maharil, I forgot to bring enough sheets, but over there. The Maharil. So he writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, which will be relevant in a second, why this is brought in the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. He says that the bracha said by a bar mitzvah should be said b'shem l'malchus, should be said with Hashem's name. And this is the opinion of the Tashbetz, the Vilna Gaon, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as well, and Simon Samet Thalach, the Bugging Yiborim. And Rav Aaron Felder writes in the Rishumei Aaron, the Chelik Beis, those are the notes he has from being in Rav Moshe's house for a number of years. So he says that Rav Moshe felt that if a person wanted to, he could recite the bracha with Hashem's name, and there would be no problem. This is against a comment that Rabbi Ginsburg from over here cites in the name of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said you shouldn't say L'shem Hashem. So we have divergent opinions of people who said that they heard things in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which is not the first time it happened. But we have one case where Rav Aaron Felder says one thing, and Rabbi Ginsburg says a different thing regarding what Rav Moshe said about saying this bracha with Hashem's name. The question is, why should it be said with Hashem's name if the Medrash doesn't cite it this way, right? We said the Medrash said, Baruch Shepatron Anshe Shalzeh. It doesn't say Baruch Ata Hashem. Why would I think that I should say it with Hashem's name? So two reasons are given. The Megale Amukos, the famous Rav of Krakow, known for his Kabbalistic works on the Parsha, writes in Parshas Chayisara that even though this is a bracha, it's a Medrash Agada, it's not coming from a halachic source, it's coming from a source of Agadata, a source of Machshava, of Jewish thoughts. He says, not a halachic source. Nevertheless, we find there are other brachos that are we say with Hashem's name that are from Medrash Agada. For example, we say the bracha in the morning of Hanosein L'Yayif Koach. That is a bracha that is not found in the Gemara. That is a bracha found in Midrashim. In addition to the bracha of Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh Esh Shimcha Barabim, as we also say in the morning. Also not a bracha found in the Gemara, a bracha found in Medrash. So we see there are many brachos we do say with Hashem's name, even though it's not found in a Gemara, which is a more authoritative halachic source. The second reason is brought by the Chayyadim. The Chayyadim in Simon Samachay is certainly coming to defend the practice of his so-called Mechutin, the Vilna Gaon. The Chayyadim likes to say that he's the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. It's not true. He married the granddaughter. Not exactly with the Vilna Gaon, or the daughter, something like that, but not exactly so close as he claims that he is. So the Chayyadim comes to defend the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, and he says the Gemara rarely cites a Gemara. The rarely cites a bracha with Hashem's name. If you look through all of Shas, you will almost never find when the Gemara is talking about a bracha that we say all the time, it says, Baruch Ata Hashem Akeinu Melech Olam, because the assumption is that if I tell you this is a bracha, it comes with Hashem's name. The Gemara never spells out the whole bracha. That's just how Gemara is written. And he notes that this is how the Gra himself was noeg when it came to saying the bracha of Baruch Shabbatrani. He must have done the same for his sons. And the Shulchan Torah adds, "V'chol bracha she'en v'ashem l'malchus ein b'mamish." What's a bracha? It doesn't have Hashem's name. It's just nice things to say, but it's not a real bracha. So therefore, these opinions we just discussed say that it has to have Hashem's name in the bracha. Comes the Ramah, and the Ramah writes here in Shulchan Aruch, because of the above concerns that we mentioned about maybe it's not a real bracha, Utov Levarich Belo Shem HaMalchus, it's better to say without Hashem's name because we're not exactly sure what the status of this bracha is, and we don't want to violate the third commandment of taking Hashem's name in vain. This is the opinion of the Levush and the Yosef Omech, which is the Chida and the Shochan Shlomo, and the Chesel Alaf and the Aruch HaShochan, the Ben Ish Chaim, Parshas Re'eh, the Birchas Abayis, the Kaf HaChaim, the Chazanish, and the Stifler as well, cited in the Aruch HaRabbeinu, Rav Yashiv in different Sfarim, Rav Adya Yosef in the Lichos Olam. Pretty much, Rav Poskim, most Poskim say, you do not say this bracha by the Bar Mitzvah with Hashem's name because of the concern of taking Hashem's name in vain. And that is the Minhag in most places in Klal Yisrael. The Rabbi Ginsburg Sefer, the Divrei Chachamim, so he cites that he heard from Yaakov Kamenetsky as saying that both sides have what to rely on, and each person should follow their own minhag. You can't point to say that one is wrong. It's a fight between the Vilna Gaon and the Ramah. It's hard to pick sides in such a debate like that. So each one has what to rely on, and the Mishnah Berurah cites the reasoning of the Ramah, but then concludes with the opinion of the Gra and the Chai Yadam. So it even seems that the Mishnah Berurah himself leans towards the Vilna Gaon's opinion to say it with Hashem's name, defending those people who do such a practice. It seems to imply that he goes with the Grub, the Maharsham, the famous Rav Brijan, so Rav Shalom Shvadron. So he writes in the Das Torah. He also brings sources defending the opinion that maybe you should say the bracha with Hashem's name as well. But there's a very interesting piece in the Sefer Birur Halacha. Rav Birur Halacha notes the name of his father, Rav Binyamin Zilber, the Aznidbaru, who's a great Rav in Bnei Brak, who said that the Das Torah, the Maharsham wrote has two Svarim. He has his Chuvos of the Maharsham, and he has his notes on Shulchan Aruch. He says the notes on Shulchan Aruch of the Maharsham are not in fact Psak, where he's telling you what to do. The notes of the Shulchan Aruch of the Maharsham is when he wrote things in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and they took them and they put it in a book together. But you can't infer from there a Psak Halacha, because people write tons of stuff in their Svarim. Phone numbers, whatever it may be. Just because you find something in a safer means, all of a sudden that's a psak halacha. And therefore, he says, this is not the opinion of the Maharsham. And the Maharsham seems to say the same thing as well in his Sefer Ir Mivtzar Magilla, where he says not to recite it with Hashem's name. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Nahalicho Shlomo, would follow the Minig HaGra, as this was the Masorah he received from the Maharil Diskin and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in the name of Shmuel Salat. So Shlomo Zalman Arbach personally, by his own son's bar mitzvahs, he would say the bracha with Shem Umalchus, with Hashem's name. And he notes, if you look in the comments of the Vilna Gaon, which we brought over here, the Vilna Gaon ends his comments, V'chein Iker. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that he has a Kabbalah from Shmuel Salant that whenever the halach, the Vilna Gaon says V'chein Iker, and this is what you should do, you should always do that. Against the Shulchan Aruch. When the Vilna Gaon has different opinions against the Shulchan Aruch in other places, then he's entitled to his opinion, but you don't have to follow. When the Vilna Gaon says, V'chein Iker, and this is the right thing to do, it's proper to be worried about the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. However, Shlomo Zalman Arbach would instruct other people to not say, because the minhag of most people, as we saw, was to not say this bracha with Hashem's name. The Chulas Van Agos of Shomrach writes in Chelek Gimel and Chelek Dalad that he heard the name of the Maharil Diskin, that only someone who always follows the Vilna Gaon for all types of things should say this with Hashem's name. But if you don't generally follow the Vilna Gaon in most manners, then you should not say it. So we come out, halacha l'maisa, most people will not say this bracha with Hashem's name. The Share Ephraim, Ephraim Margolios, writes in Perek Dalad that if the father says the bracha b'shem Malchus, you should answer Amen afterwards, even because it's a proper bracha. Shlomo Zalman Arbach says in Halicha Shlomo, we don't answer Amen after a bracha that doesn't have Shem Hashem. And this is, I think, is a mistake that many people make when it comes to this bracha. Because in shuls, they will get up and the father will say, Baruch Shavachonim Ramshah Shazah, and everyone will say, Amen. That's incorrect. Because you don't say Amen if there's no Shem Hashem in a bracha. And therefore, it's a nice thing to say, but there's no reason that Tzibur should respond Amen to such a statement. For example, like Modim Derabanan. Right, when we say Baruch Kel HaHodaos at the end of Modim Derabanan, do we say Amen? No, we're quiet. So too, because there's no Shem Hashem, and the Betzal HaChachma of Betzal Stern says the same thing as well.
What about the conventional for Eretz Yisrael, all these, like the
Mishaberach
people?
We say V'chein Amen, so yeah. Then you're telling people you should say Amen. But in this case, it's not something you say Amen to. It's not it's not what's going on in the brachas. The purpose isn't to say amen. It's a declaration of some change in status here, but not something that we have to say amen for. Next, as a policy, we don't make shechiyanu when the child becomes a bar mitzvah, because you don't make a bracha on the first time you do a mitzvah, as a rule, right? Rav Yaakov Emden writes in Hasidur, for example, that the first time a kala lights Shabbos candles, you should say shechiyanu. But we don't do that, because we don't make shechiyanu the first time you do something. When do we say shechiyanu? Rav Moshe writes in the Chuvas Negrash Moshe and the Chelek Gimel Yoredeya that you make a shechiyanu on something that comes from time to time, as a cycle, over and over again. But here, this is the boy's going to become bar mitzvah, and he's going to be bar mitzvah forever. He doesn't not become bar mitzvah next Tuesday and then become bar mitzvah again. So therefore, since it's not a cycle, it's the first time you do something. The first time you do a mitzvah, you don't make a shechiyanu. That's not what shechiyanu is about. And then Rav Moshe also adds that even a child technically has Kabbalah's mitzvos. A child has accepted upon himself the mitzvos. There just happens to be a technicality that he's not old enough to do them. But to say that all of a sudden now he's expected to do mitzvahs is not true. Children can do mitzvahs whenever they want. There happens to be a technical thing holding him back that he happens to not be old enough in such a case. And therefore, no shechiyanu is made. The Ben Ish Chai writes in Parshas Ra'eh that the bar mitzvah boy should wear a nice new suit or a new tie that he's very excited about and make his shechiyanu on the new clothing and then have the bar mitzvah in mind.
That's also something that doesn't come around, though.
Correct. So there's two types of shechiyanu. There's a shechiyanu that comes on something from time to time, like we make on the Yom Tovim, or fruit. But the reason we make a shechiyanu on new fruit is because it's supposed to be seasonal. But nowadays we live in a world where everything is seasonal, thanks to airplanes and genetics. So there's no such thing anymore. But that's the other type of shechiyanu on clothing is the excitement that I have reached a point where I need a new garment. I've grown, or I've continued to live where my old garment is not need it anymore, and now I'm excited about the new one. That's why many people won't make shechiyanu nowadays, because I have 8 suits in my closet. I'm not so excited when I get another suit. I wear suits every single day. So it depends on the person how excited you are about that that thing. Okay, when do we make the bracha of Baruch Shabbatrani? That's important to know. So we have over here a comment of the Mishnah Berurah. It's not inside. There's too many sources to bring inside. The book would be this thick. So the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkat and Vav that the minhag is to make the bracha when the bar mitzvah davens for the tzibur or reads from the Torah on his first Shabbos, so it'll be more publicly known that this is an event, that he's becoming a bar mitzvah. To make it in your house when nobody else is there, no great shakes, because you want to make people be aware that now he's chayv in mitzvahs. So this is also brought by the Aruch HaShulchan. And is there a reason to wait until Monday or Thursday or even Shabbos, right? Is it better to say it on Shabbos? Let's say it's a Monday or Thursday. What's the best thing to do in such a case? So the Rav Gabriel Sinner writes in the Nitei Gabriel on Bar Mitzvah, Perek Yud Beis, he says that Lichatchila, the father should make the bracha the first time the son reads in the Torah, and there's no reason to wait for Shabbos. Zrizim, Makdim, and the Mitzvahs, we do Mitzvahs as soon as possible. Who cares what's going on Shabbos? Monday, Thursday is the time the bracha should be made, irregardless of what's coming up next. Obviously, the boy turns bar mitzvah on Friday, and Shabbos is the first one, so they make the bracha on Shabbos. Why should the bracha be made in such a public fashion? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that the purpose of the bracha is to be mechazik the son in mitzvahs. To say, hey, it's time to go do mitzvahs, it's a big deal, and therefore it makes sense that you want the bracha to be in a public fashion, because everyone should feel, and he should feel special, look, I'm chayim in mitzvos, the whole shul sees, the whole community sees, and therefore we're doing this public way, so the boy should feel special about what is going on. The other opinion, that is not connected at all to laning or davening for the Amud, is the Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel writes in Chelek Aleph and Siman Dalet that the Shari Ephraim writes that the bracha is said that the first time he gets an aliyah, because that's the first time he's reading from the Torah. And he says this is different than other mitzvahs that have that may have had the participation of a katan. Meaning, what's special about laning? Other mitzvahs the child may have done. The child has davened before. The child has waved luv and esrog before. The child has made a brach. He has benched before. But what's the one thing that he has not done before in his general observance of mitzvahs? It's reading from the Torah, getting an aliyah. And therefore we choose this event, says the Divrei Malkiel, because it is a singular event that he has not done yet, and we're highlighting his connection to the mitzvahs. And the Divrei Malkiel questions this reasoning, since there's a strong minhag to give the katan maftir. We don't do this so much anymore, but the minhag used to be that boys on the age of bar mitzvah would get maftir and read the haftorah. So what do we see from there? There are times when a child under the age of bar mitzvah will get an aliyah, so to speak. And therefore he says it can't be because of the whole thing with laming. So the Divrei Malkiel says that there's an aspect of publicizing the event during Bar Mitzvah, regardless of what's going on. And therefore, you can do it at the Suda. You have a party, you invite some friends over, some schnapps, kichel, herring, whatever the boy likes, and you make the bracha in front of them. There's no direct connection or correlation between laning and saying this bracha. So the Divrei Malkiel says, say it in front of a group of people, wherever you want, in the street, at a Suda, but just say it somewhere, not necessarily connected to this idea as well. And Rav Yashav, I saw, is quoted as saying a similar idea in regard to this. Okay, Rav Moshe also seems to say that it should be done by the Kriyas HaTorah, and he says, Rav Moshe says that's why the father is the one who makes the bracha, because generally the father is next to him when he lanes. That is a tshuva, Nigros Moshe Rechaim Chilakei, Simin Yadal, which, as the editors write, is the last handwritten tshuva Rav Moshe ever wrote in his lifetime, was about why the father should make the bracha for the son by the Bar Mitzvah. Then, the Ketos HaShulchan, Rav Chaim Na writes that there's no time limit on the bracha. You can recite it as long as you want. You don't remember if your Bar Mitzvah, 50 years ago, if your father made the bracha, so he can go and make the bracha again nowadays if he wants. There's no time limit on it, and you can say La'olam Va'ed, it never runs out. And he says, what's the lashon of the Medrash? The Medrash says, Mikan ve'elech, from this point forward. So it doesn't have a deadline. So from any point forward, you can make the bracha. A few other connected or related rules to the recitation of this bracha. Does the parent say Baruch Shabbatrani on an adopted child or a stepchild? So the most complete discussion of this question, which is an interesting discussion and important, is in a sefer called Ben Imatzta Lach, which is a sefer written by Rav Yaakov Dvorkis, who's a great Talmid Chacham Eretz Yisrael. He has a whole sefer about adoption and halacha, and all the different issues that come up. So the 8th chapter in Parakhas has a whole discussion about what do we do about this bracha when it comes to a bar mitzvah boy. So he cites two different opinions, obviously, or else we wouldn't have anything to discuss here. So the Betzal HaChacham, or Betzal Stern, writes in Chelek Hei that you can say it, because we don't use Shema Malchus, right? The adopted father can say it because what is he saying wrong? There's no bracha there. It's not a bracha of Atala. So he can say it because you don't lose anything out and no harm done. This means that even those who would say the bracha with Shema Malchus, with Hashem's name, would not in this case of an adopted child, but they would allow to say it without Hashem's name. In addition, Rosh Shlomo Kluger writes in Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Evin Ezer, he says that one who raises orphans in his home fulfills the Torah commandment of having children, if you raise orphans in your home. So certainly, if that's the case, if I raise a child, who even though is not biologically mine, and I have fulfilled the status of having children, according to Rosh Shlomo Kluger, then certainly the bracha I can say that I'm saying Shepatrani Me'onsho shall zeh as well. The Rambam and Hilchos Nachos and the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan all say that someone who's given custody and care of a child is responsible to be mechanech the child's mitzvos. And it's on his account, it's on his cheshbon as to whether he has taken care of the child. So for all these reasons, many argue that even the adopted parent should say this bracha. However, Rav Menashe Klein, who we were discussing before, writes in Chelek Gimel of his Shuvas and Simen Chav Vav, and he has a fear that if the adoptive parent makes this bracha, it may lead people to think that the adoptive parent is the actual parent of the child. And he has a fear, which I think is a bit far-fetched, he has a fear that if we are led to believe that the adoptive parent is in fact a biological parent, that may cause issues later on about marriage, that maybe someone will end up marrying a relative because they're not going to realize that they weren't in fact related or they were related, and it's going to confuse people. We need to know yichas of who biological parents are, because that makes a difference regarding issues of marriage in the Torah. I think it's a bit far-fetched, but Rav Menashe Klein has this fear, and he says that you shouldn't do it. Rav Dvorkis notes that there was a major Torah journal in America called Hapardes, which is not really functioning anymore, but in Hapardes, versions 24 and 25, there was a lengthy back and forth between a lot of the poskim in America about yes or not, should we say it, should we not. I think at the end of the day, certainly saying Baruch Shabbatrani without Shema Malchus, one has read to a lion even for an adoptive child. This also has ramifications, this discussion, whether the grandfather can say it. Let's say Rahman al-Islam, the father is no longer alive with the child, the father is not available for whatever reason, and the grandfather would like to say it. Is that okay in such a case? So Rav Dvorkis says that the grandfather should not make the bracha. And he notes that the Maharsham writes that he's unsure. But in the Tshuvas Maisa Ish in Yerodeah Simon Yudalid, it says that the grandfather doesn't make the bracha since he is not technically responsible for the actions of the child. Technically, in Shemayim, if the child does something wrong, it's not going on the account of the grandfather. It'd be nice if he would help take care, but it's not really his responsibility, and therefore it'd be incorrect to say shepatrati me'onsho shalzeh, that now I'm being redeemed for my responsibilities to the child, because you're not really responsible to the child, and therefore he says grandparents should not make the bracha. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach Mehalicho Shlomo again says that the father makes the separate bracha on twins that become bar mitzvah. In our shul, we've been zocha to have triplets twice already in the last few years. But on twins, we have this statement that the father makes the separate brachas on each twin. You don't make one bracha on both of them. Each child deserves their own time, their own place to have their own special bracha. And then he makes the following point. You should not change the nusach of the bracha to say something like, Baruch Shepatroni, Me'onshem Shalzeh V'Shalzeh, on this one and that one. That would be inappropriate to change the matzbeya, the formulation of Chazal. And this rule even applies if the bracha doesn't have Hashem's name in it at all. That would be the wrong thing to do. This is the opinion of the Horus Nasser, Nasser Geshtetner, and Chayleches. And Rav Shechter as well told me that he felt that Rav Shlomo Zalman was correct in this regard, that one bracha on each child, whether it is twins, triplets, quadruplets, whatever it may be, each one gets their own bracha. Next, the Betzel HaChachma, or Betzel Stern, has three tshuvos in a row about bar mitzvah questions and this bracha. I'll just tell you the questions very quickly, and then we'll move on to two other issues. These are all in Chelek K, in Kuf Lamed Beis, Kuf Lamed Gimel, Kuf Lamed Dal, 132, 33, and 34. The first tshuva he discusses making the bracha of Baruch Shabbatrani when the son isn't in front of you. If the father will see him later on, he says if the son's not in front of you by the bar mitzvah, he should wait till later on. Don't make the bracha if he's not there. The next tshuva is about making the bracha in one location, where the minig is different than the other one. Some people do say with Hashem's name, some people say you don't. What do you do in such a case if there's divergent minhagim regarding the bracha? And the last tshuva is about the necessity of having a minyan for the bracha. He feels it's proper to have a minyan there because we're publicizing the events of what's going on, and therefore it'd be a nice thing to do. The last two questions we want to discuss is bat mitzvah and Tisha B'Av. Let's go one at a time. Do we make this on a bat mitzvah, a girl who turns 12 and is chayav mitzvos in her own regard? So the Prima Gadim writes in Simon Reish Chafei, in our Simon over here, that the meaning is not to say when the girl becomes bat mitzvah. And the Kol Mavasa writes this as well, the Halichos Vas Yisrael, Al Mitzvah, Al Emsis, Al Ben Ematzas Lach, that we quoted before, also says we don't make the bracha of Baruch Shabbatrani for a daughter. What are the two reasons given why it's not said by a bat mitzvah? So he says that parents are not obligated in the technical mitzvah of chinuch for daughters to the same extent that they are for the sons, because women are responsible in fewer mitzvos as men. And this is the understanding of the Ksosa Shulchan as well. I think that reason is hard to digest, because who cares technically what the final number is? They're still responsible in mitzvos, so why should it be any different? There are mitzvos that women are responsible in, so you still have to take care of those things. That's reason number one. Reason number two is the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim has a very interesting pshat. He says that generally, the daughter would stay in the parents' household until she got married. The sons would turn bar mitzvah, go off to yeshiva, go get a job, and then out of the house, good riddance, use their room for something else. But the daughter, says the Kaf HaChaim, that was not the case. The daughters grew up in the parents' house until they got married, and only then. So technically, when the father and mother are still taking care of her, and they're still responsible for her when she is in their house, how can they say Baruch Shepatron Me'onsho Shalzeh? Which again goes against what the bracha is really about. The bracha is about mitzvah. It's not about if I'm watching over your bank account and looking how many pairs of shoes you're buying. That's not really what the bracha is about. But that's the opinion of the Kaf HaChaim. However, comes Rav Avad Yosef in the Abiya Omer, in Chelek Vav, in Orach Chaim, in Simen Chav Tes, and he says there's no difference between sons and daughters in this regard. And I think in Svara, in reasoning, he's correct. The two arguments against it are hard to explain. And Rav Avad Yosef says that why should there be a difference? And Baruch Shabbatrani should apply to a bat mitzvah as well. This is also opinion brought in the Yalkut Yosef. And Rav Yitzhak Nisim, who is the chief rabbi of Israel, writes in the Yein HaTov, in Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, and Simen Vav, he was asked about making this bracha, and he says that you should say without Shem HaMalchus And he says that the bracha was only mentioned after the Gemara, and these brachas may not even be, you know, real brachas themselves. So make it on about mitzvah girl and have a great time, he says. It doesn't harm anyone at all. Should be noted in that shuva, Rizach Nisim, is probably the first time anyone has ever discussed about mitzvah celebration in general. But we'll leave that for another time as well. Next, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is an interesting question. So let's say the bar mitzvah boy becomes bar mitzvah on Tisha B'Av, and there's lading that day. Should he get an aliyah, and should he, the father, make the bracha? It seems to be a contradiction in the spirit of the day. So on one hand, Rishmuel Kamenetsky is quoted in the Kovitz Halachos, written by his Talmidim, on the Beinu Mitzarim, that if the bachur becomes bar mitzvah on Tisha B'Av, he should get the aliyah in Shacharis, and the father can say Baruch Shabbatrani. And if Baruch Shabbatrani is a form of like Birchas HaGomel, that now I'm exempt and all of my difficulties are gone, so then you can say Birchas HaGomel on Tisha B'Av. There's no problem with that. If you're in a car accident and you want to thank Hashem for letting you survive the car accident, so say Bench Gomel, what's the big deal? So the same thing applies to this bracha. However, Shmuel Kamenetsky is in the minority in this opinion. The Divrei Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, who is a Hungarian Rav, writes in Chelek Alvin Simon Kuf Mem Tes, that even though there is an aspect of Zriza Makdim in the mitzvah, so you want to do the mitzvah as soon as possible when it comes to getting an aliyah at Shacharis, nevertheless, there's a reason to have the aliyah and the bracha at Mincha on Tisha B'Av instead. He says, don't do it at Shacharis, let's save the bar mitzvah boy for Mincha. And he has a very interesting explanation. He cites Rabbi Akiva Eger in his Shuvah. So Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in Simen Chaf Dalad that if a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, and they're sick and they have to eat, so he shouldn't get the aliyah at Mincha. Instead, he should get the aliyah at Shacharis. Why? Because the Kriyas HaTorah at Shacharis is about the holiness of the day of Yom Kippur. But the Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha is related to a fasting. Is there any other holiday that we lay in the Torah at Mincha on? No. We only lay in the Torah at Mincha on Yom Kippur, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. Why is that? Because we lay in the Torah at Mincha on fast days. Just like every other fast day has a Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha, so too Yom Kippur, like any other fast day, has a laning at Mincha. When we lay in the Torah at Mincha, says Rabbi Akiva, it is not because of the holiness of Yom Kippur. We lay in the Torah at Mincha because it is a fast day. And because it is a fast day, we read from the Torah. And if that's the case, it would be inappropriate for the person who is not fasting at this point anymore to get an aliyah, because it's a contradiction to what the day is about. In the morning, we read the Torah not because of the fast day. Even if we never had to fast on Yom Kippur, we would still read the Torah in the morning related to what those events are. And the Divrei Yisrael explains based on this, that in the morning of Tisha B'Av, the Kriyas HaTorah is about the sadness of the day, about the destruction, the Chorban, and how sad we are. And it's not proper to recite the bracha of Baruch Shabbatrani. I just commemorated the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and Mazel Tov, son, you are now Bar Mitzvah. Those events seem to contradict each other, says the Divrei Yisrael. So he says, better to wait till Mincha, because that is connected to Tainus, connected to fasting, but it's not specifically the Mitzvah of Tisha B'Av itself. It's not a sad laning at Mincha. And therefore he says, I would prefer that you push off the laning of, that you push off the Bar Mitzvah boy's bracha and his first aliyah to Mincha of Tisha B'Av and not have it in the morning. This is the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Arbach and the Atzeres Yehoshua and Rav Rosner as well. Let's just finish up with the reason for this bracha. Why do we make this bracha in the first place? Well, what's the kavanah of the father when he makes this bracha? So the Magen Avraham gives two opinions here. The first opinion is that the father is saying it because now on his account in Shemayim, any averus the son does, it's not going on his account anymore. Then he cites the Levush who says it's really for the son, because the son is saying that Baruch Hashem, now, whenever my old man messes up, I'm not going to be punished for the mistakes of my father. That's how he understands this bracha. Finally, Rav Shtrombach writes in Chuvas Hanagos and Chelkei in Siman Reisha Dalet that the bracha is based on a comment of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that there are certain sins for which justice determines that retribution be exacted in this world on the sinner's person, on his possession, or on his small children. Sometimes it happens that children are punished for the sins of the parents. And he says, this only works by a child who doesn't have the maturity to, a small child who does not possess intellectual maturity and has not reached the age where they are obligated to perform mitzvahs, because these children are considered like the property of the father. So from here, says Rav Shtrombach, the bracha is recited on the fact that the child will not be punished anymore for the parents' actions, like the Levush hinted to. So, we should all be zocha to attend many simchas, where the bracha said, and to celebrate many bar mitzvahs across all of Klai Yisrael.